أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Now we will look at Ayah 31, is tafsir. Before we begin with this Ayah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to act upon these commands. Because these commands are for women. This is a test for women. Men too have tests, but they are different than women. Their concern is not the same as women, because men have a different role. We will learn the commands for women specifically, and after learning these commands, inshallah, it will be clear what is expected of women. But before we continue, we remind ourselves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the first ayah. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinat. In this surah are ayahs that are clear. Bayyin is for something very clear. Something so clear as we would say crystal clear. If we have any confusion or doubt, they should be clarified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, we revealed this surah and made it obligatory, meaning obeying the commands in it are fard for us. Many people question, where in the Quran does it say certain commands are made fard? So the beginning of the surah begins, mentions that these commands are compulsory. It also states that the matters are clear. So we can understand clearly and act upon these commands. The Quran is also called Al-Furqan, meaning it separates the truth from falsehood. Similarly, the day in which Battle of Badr happened is also called Yawm Al-Furqan. So the truth was manifested. Who was upon the truth and who was upon falsehood, as the Muslims had won. After the Battle of Badr, it was clear what was truth and what was falsehood, as the truth triumphed with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after that, whoever followed the truth knew it was the truth with certainty, and whoever persisted upon disbelief, it was known that it was the falsehood which they were upon. As we look at these ayahs, we should know what Allah has told is the truth, and that is the straight way. So we begin, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Waqul, and say, who is told to say? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, lil mu'minat, to the believing women. So the believing women should become alert, as they are about to be told something important. And the Prophet ﷺ is told to say it to them. So this is the command of Allah, and what the Prophet ﷺ is saying as well. Whatever commands that are in the Quran were conveyed by the Prophet to the people. But these are some commands. When emphasis is made for the Prophet ﷺ to tell the believers, then it is a command of Allah and the Prophet ﷺ for all believing women in this ayah. So what is the command? Number one, يَغْفِرْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that they should lower their sight or gazes. Women are being addressed. You cannot leave your eyes to wander and have to stop looking that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As previously, lowering the gaze was mentioned. It doesn't mean that we keep our eyes looking down and keep on bumping into things. Lowering the sights or gaze means not looking where Allah has forbidden. Sometimes, unconsciously, a picture or a scene or a person comes in view. Then the person should immediately look away. Where looking towards is forbidden. or looking at someone which causes attraction, so should not look and turn away from looking. So where else should not a believing woman look? The same things that were mentioned for men not to look and consider forbidden, such as indecent pictures, scenes, dramas, or movies, or any other indecent matter on the internet. What things are part in the woman's lowering of gazes? First thing is not intentionally looking. For example, sometimes young girls, when they see young men, they say, "Let's look at them," thinking so-and-so is so handsome, and they start looking at them. So this is something forbidden, not allowed. And this is for young men as well, not to look at young women. Number two, when immediately find oneself looking at something not to be looked at, then should turn away. Number three, cannot look at anyone's satar. Satar is something that is considered the private area, whether the person knows about it or not. As we learn, the men's satar is from navel to the knees, including the knees, so cannot look at them unless if someone is a doctor or there is a medical reason. This is under ordinary conditions, cannot look there. Number four, cannot sit in a gathering where men and women are together and looking at each other. Just as sitting on a dinner table or when we get seated by someone else, where men and women can see each other. Even if seating is assigned, even then cannot look at each other. Number five, when looking at the sports from afar, if you happen to see men, it's okay. Number six, if out of necessity, if someone is at the door or comes to our home, there is some leniency for women. This is because women have been commanded with the veil and covering up. Also, the women do not get attracted to men as men get attracted to women. Therefore, women have been commanded to cover. Men are not commanded to cover as women, so they are not seen. Therefore, men are commanded to lower their gazes if they see a woman. So first command is for men to guard and lower their sights. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stated that in the 7th year of Hijri, there was a delegation of people from Habsha that came to Medina and performed. So she stood behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and watched the show. I continued to watch as long as I wanted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given her permission. Therefore, a woman can see on TV but cannot stare towards a man that a woman finds attractive or pleasing, such as an actor in a movie or a model, whoever it may be. How will one know they like it and are feeling the attraction? This is for the person to judge themselves. Whenever this feeling arises, then they have to turn away from looking. Another type of looking that is disliked is looking to spy on others. If done to keep an eye on, for example, neighbors or certain people within the home, looking with suspicion where the persons are going. Even from this, the eyes should be guarded. Even some wives to challenge their husbands, if the husbands have a habit of looking at women, will intentionally look at other men. What they must realize is that the husband will have to answer for his own wrongful deeds, and the wife will have to answer for her own. And this is not appropriate. So the first command given to men was to guard their sights. Women are also commanded to do the same. Women, even if married, should still not look at inappropriate programs, movies, or shows. And no matter what age they are in, still cannot do it. All have to guard their eyes. Then number two, وَيَحْفِظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ, and they should guard their private parts, meaning chastity, as we learned before. First thing is to remember the satr of women should be covered, and the satr of women is the entire body except the face and hands. And the satr of women with other women is from navel to the knees. Therefore, if a woman is nursing her baby and her chest is exposed in front of other women, it will not be a sin on her, because her satr will be from the navel to the knees in front of other women. Or if a woman wears short sleeves or sleeveless in front of other women, then there is also no sin there. Or if she wears a caprice pants in front of other women. A woman cannot expose her private parts or satr anywhere. Also, in looking is not only looking, but also includes touching. Number two, just as for men, homosexuality is forbidden, so is for women. Some women question that if a wife has to be available for her husband, what about a husband who does not fulfill the right of the wife? A husband cannot leave her this way as a punishment. If he goes to other women or has other wives, he cannot deprive his wife for more than 4 months, unless the husband is ill or traveling, or there is a mutual understanding, or living in another place. A husband should regard his wife's need as well, and fulfilling her right protects her from seeking unlawful relationships outside of marriage. There are two additional commands for women. Number three, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. And number four, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. So these additional commands, we will look at each one. Number three is وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ, is that they should not reveal their adornment. What we learn from this is that a woman can adorn herself. Women are allowed to make themselves look beautiful. This right is given to women. She has the right to beautify herself, dress up, and look nice. Also, being religious does not mean that a woman should not wear makeup or jewelry or dress up or beautify herself. It is in the nature of the woman to look beautiful, and she uses different means to beautify herself. This is not prohibited. However, the restriction is in revealing and showing her adornment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ, and should not reveal their beauty. This is not for all eyes to see, and she is not available for everyone for her to look at. What is considered zinatahunna? That which is not to be revealed or to be displayed. And this is of two types. The first is the natural beauty of the woman, such as her body figure, her voice, her height. The second is one that a woman beautifies herself with, that a woman puts on herself, such as makeup, jewelry, clothes. We choose to wear ourselves. Even the clothes are an adornment, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. O children of Adam, take your adornment near all masajid. In this ayah, zinatakum refers to clothes or garments, as clothes also beautify a person. We take great care in choosing our clothes, and at times, women make a great deal of effort in getting the clothes stitched. Even if she has to buy cloth to stitch, it takes a lot of effort to get it made, getting its embellishments, buttons, laces. So the garments or clothes are also an adornment. Also in the natural beauty of a woman is her chest, her hair, features of her face. And then she beautifies herself by use of makeup, perfume, clothes, purses, jewelry. So we are told not to reveal these things. This is very difficult, because there are some things that cannot be hidden. So it is said, إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, except that which is already apparent, not made apparent or revealed. One is making apparent oneself and revealed, and one that is apparent by itself. What is included in this? The height is something that cannot be hidden, no matter how much one covers themselves, or if a woman is thin or heavy, or her walk, she cannot hide her voice. She cannot hide her jilbab or abaya that she puts on herself. Those things cannot be hidden. Also, hands are exposed. They could have henna or a ring on it. It will be revealed by itself. So in ma wahara minha, scholars have said, is the kohl in the eyes, the rings on the fingers, the bangles or bracelet, her voice, wrist, hands, that which is exposed or apparent naturally. Except those, a woman has to cover and hide all other forms of adornments. And in Illa ma zuhara minha, there are two tafsirs. One is Abdullah bin Mas'ud and the other from Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah bin Mas'ud has said that in ma zuhara minha, the exception is that which does not get covered and that is revealed by itself, is jilbab, the abaya, or any other full cover, or a shawl. He mentions this as an exception because this is used for cover. Abdullah ibn Abbas stated that in illa ma zahara minha refers to the face and hands, because when a woman has to go out and deal with the world outside, hiding her face and hands is difficult. Therefore, according to the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, exposing the face and hands in front of non-mahram men is not acceptable. And according to Abdullah bin Abbas, a woman can show her face and hands in front of non-mahram men. Due to this ikhtilaf or difference of opinion, we see why some women wear niqab and some do not. But all scholars agree that if by looking at the woman's face, it can cause trouble and falling into temptations, where the society is such, where people stare even at the faces, wherever she goes out, then in that case, she cannot expose her face and must be covered. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, and Imam Abu Hanifa do not disagree beyond exposing the face and hands. Otherwise, they all agree that the rest of the woman's body should be covered. When the face is mentioned to be uncovered, is for when a woman must go out, or when the face has to be exposed, such as in the court, or for identity purposes, or at the airport, or for security purposes, where the man doesn't look for lustful desires, but for verifying identification, then there is no harm in that. If we make a list of all the ways we beautify ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a face feature and body. When we look at what a woman uses to beautify herself, that is part of the adornment, and all that must be covered. A woman cannot show makeup, because if her face has makeup, then it should be covered. As the ayah mentions, that do not display your adornment, except that which is apparent. The apparent does not have to be covered, except in exceptional cases. And all things in adornment should be covered. Jabir states that Asma bint Murshadat, while she was in Banu Haritha, in her garden of date palms, women started coming to her without their covers and shawls, because of which their braids, their ankles, their chest area became exposed. She said that it was very bad, upon which this ayah was revealed. In illa ma wahara minha is included a long shawl covering the body, the jilbab. It can be silken or with small print. That's something that cannot be hidden. And hands with henna on them or a ring being worn. That cannot be hidden and are apparent. scarf alone is not considered a hijab. The hijab of Islam is not just wearing the scarf in its own, because even the clothes are considered an adornment and should not be revealed, but covered, as mentioned. Some people say, what about loose clothes? It is not about loose clothes, rather the clothes one wears to cover the nakedness should be covered as well. As in Surah Al-Ahzab, the wearing of the outer covering is mentioned in detail. The word used is jilbab and mentions how women should cover when they go outside their homes. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned that her brother from her nursing mother, his daughter came to visit her. And then the Prophet ﷺ came in as well. So when he saw them, he turned his face. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, O Prophet of Allah, she is my niece. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a girl reaches the age of puberty, it is not allowed for her to reveal except her face and hands. The Prophet ﷺ showed how much of the hand which can be exposed. He made a fist, and where the fist was made, up to that part of the palm. So when a young girl reaches puberty, she cannot show except her face and hands. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the sister of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, was visiting and was wearing thin clothes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away and said, Asma, when a girl reaches puberty, it is not allowed for her to expose any part of her body except for the face and hands. So cannot even wear clothes where the body is revealed. Those clothes cannot be worn even in front of other women, because in that case, the satr would be exposed, such as see-through clothes. So just covering hair is not hijab, that is only covering of the satr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلْيَضْرِبَنَّ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. And they should put their head coverings upon their chests or bosoms. What does this mean? Many times we hear women say, where does it say in the Quran that the hair should be covered? Qimar is a cloth used to cover the head. The Arab women in the times of Jahiliyyah or ignorance used it to cover their heads. Today, which we consider hijab, but what they would do is cover their head and put it behind them, just as the brides expose their necks. So they would have the khimar on with their necks, their forelocks and chest exposed. It was said not to throw back the ends of the khimar behind them, but to cover their neck and chest with it, to be covered properly. We must understand these ayahs properly. Those who question covering of head and hair, khimar is a word for covering the hair and head. It is not said to take it off from the head and wrap it around the neck or just hang it on the chest. Women cover their chest while head is uncovered. The command doesn't tell us to remove from the heads. Rather, the cloth that covers the head should be used to cover the chest. Just if someone says, extend or wear your shoes up to the ankle, it doesn't mean to take off the shoes. Shoes have to be worn on the feet, not on hands. And if anyone asks, where does it say to cover the feet with the shoe, we would say shoe is a covering for the feet. Similarly, khimar is a covering for the head. And those who do not have the understanding of the Arabic language and about the word khimar would not be able to understand, as people look for the words specifically saying to cover their hair. So khimar is something that covers the head and should be used to also include covering the neck and the chest area. Khimar is not the dubatta or the scarf used in the Asian countries, which is normally very thin and see-through. This is not the khimar. This is the shawl or a scarf big enough to not only cover the hair, but covers the neck and the chest area as well. That which covers the upper part of a woman's body, that is the khimar. So when these ayahs were revealed, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha commended the women of the Ansar. She said, when these ayahs were revealed And the men went home and recited these ayahs to their women. The women used whatever cloth they had. They used their izars, the waist sheets, tore them to make their khimar. These women were wearing their khimar from the next day on. We see such obedience and the desire to obey the commands of Allah. They did not wait to buy abayas or scarves. They were not financially strong, rather used whatever sheets they had at home to make their khimar. So the command is to wear the khimar on the head and cover the chest area as well. Therefore, the earlobes also get covered, the neck, the shoulder, the chest, all get covered. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ and should not reveal their adornment. We learn what is considered adornment and not to be revealed. Now we learn who are those people in front of whom the adornment can be exposed. We learn a list of mahram relations in front of whom the hijab is not required. But whoever are on the list, they do not see the woman's adornment in the same way. Rather, according to their ranks, the names are mentioned. So the first is إِلَّا بُؤُولَتِهِنَّ except their husbands. The most right to see a woman's adornment is her husband. Therefore, she can display her adornment and is liked that the woman beautifies herself for her husband. And this is a means of reward for her, having the intention for doing it for him. Secondly, أَوْ أَبَائِهِنَّ or their fathers. She can display her adornment. This includes her paternal and maternal grandfathers, and includes father of a husband and his grandparents. Why are these people exempted? Because these are the relationships where a woman does not fear any harm from them. Then, أو آبائي بؤولتهن, or fathers of their husbands, as we just mentioned. أو أبنائهن, or their sons. A woman can wear makeup and jewelry, but still in front of these relations, the satr still has to be covered. She cannot walk around with tank tops or skirts, or such blouses where back and part of stomach is visible. That cannot be revealed, even in front of these relationships. This is only allowed for the husband. As we see, not all the relations have the same level of showing the adornment. Just as a satr for women is the entire body, except the face and hands, she can expose her hair and head and wrist and ankles, and only this much in front of these exempted relations. Due to the lack of knowledge, some women in Indo-Pak used to cover their heads in front of their fathers, but were uncovered in front of their non-mahram servants and even in front of husbands' brothers or even their cousins, due to the lack of knowledge and due to the culture. So in sons, grandsons, and great sons are also included, either real sons or stepsons, as we see, أو أبناء بعولتهن, or sons of their husbands, from a different or a previous wife. There is no hijab in front of them, and can come without her hijab. But in sons, those who are called sons is not included. Just because a woman calls someone her son does not make him exempt. أو إخوانهن or their brothers, and this includes stepbrothers from mother or father's marriage, and this also includes brothers who are the sons of the woman who breastfed them, who is not their real mother. أو بني إخوانهن or sons of their brothers. أو بني إخواتهن or sons of their sisters. أو نسائهن or their women, meaning women who are trustworthy and know they will not describe them in front of other males when they see them without hijab. Some Mufassireen have stated that this is meant that only Muslim women are included and not the non-Muslim women. We find many instances where Jewish women came to meet the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did not do hijab in front of them. So whether it is a Muslim or non-Muslim woman, they should be ones who are of good character, Women of bad character look at women and young girls and go out and describe the women they look at to men who are not mahram. Therefore, cannot remove the hijab in front of these type of women. Oh, ma malakat aymanuhunna, or what possessed their right hands. This refers to slave girls or servant girls. Awittabi'ina ghayri ulil irbati minar rijal, or those men who work as servants or attendants at home, who have no interest in or desire for women, those who are not at the same level as the women, and are feeble-minded. So basically, men without any sexual desires. أَوِتْتِفْلِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْرَاتِ النِّسَاءِ, or children who do not know about the nakedness of women, who have not reached the age to know the difference between men and women. In front of them, women can come with their adornment, while she cannot come in front of anyone else. When we leave our homes beautified, and when it is visible for others to see, then we should think, those who see us, are they in this list? If they are not, then this is disobedience of Allah. In this ayah, it is mentioned, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. Who is commanding us this? This is where Shaitan deceives us and tells us, it's okay, do a little makeup, you will look nice, you look sick or tired, or gives us other excuses. Then the woman goes out beautifying herself and looking attractive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said clearly, do not display or reveal your adornment. Even if we wear our scarf, which alone is not hijab, then exposing ears so the earrings are visible, and pulling the scarf in a way that shows jewelry a woman is wearing on the neck, this is showing adornment. Especially for brides, her chest is exposed to show her jewelry, while here, covering of the chest is especially mentioned. Sometimes the scarves women wear are so tiny or so wrapped and only cover the head, while we are told to cover the chest. Even in wearing the abaya or jilbab, we should be loose and worn over the clothes. It cannot be so fitted that reveal the shape of the body. The shape of the body is an adornment, so cannot reveal the body figure, nor displaying of other beautifications or adornments that are used can be revealed. Even the cover, the jilbab, should not be an adornment by itself. When it is colorful and embellished heavily and fancy, that itself can be attractive. It doesn't have to be black. It can be any other color. If we remember that we cannot show or reveal our adornment, then this is not something difficult to remember.